Marcy Schwartz with Ruth Saw interviewing Dr. Corinne A. Krause. We're at Dr. Krause's home, and it is August 7th. Dr. Krause, could you say a few words just to make sure everything's in order?
Yes. This is our second interview, and I assume that the tape is working just fine.
I'd like to thank you again for letting us come into your home again. We much enjoyed the last interview.
Thank you. And I'm very honored that you
came. There are a couple things that I'd like to just clear up from our last interview. You were telling us mostly about your family. And one thing we didn't go on to your fourth child. We don't have her name or anything.
My fourth child, Diane. Adored her, which must have given her a certain kind of security, although not much self-confidence. And she's very, very kind, bright, beautiful, and brilliant. And she doesn't know it. She wouldn't believe it if, you know, if you told her. Large topic, I can't tell you what she does, but the question she's trying to contribute to the answer is how to synthesize bone marrow. And she's just a very special person at the same time as sweet as can be.
Oh, wonderful. And she doesn't believe she's bright.
Well, she believes, well, she's a very hard worker. She's very, very close. She's just lovely. She lives in Steubenville. She's married to Cindy Brody, who's also in Pennsylvania. And they have two children. And her daughter is a doctor, and her son's a
doctor.
Her name's Felice. This was a very sad topic, and politics are so controversial, and I'm not very sympathetic with Mr. Netanyahu's policies, but actually my feelings about Israel have always been, I've always been totally committed to Israel, but always been very suspicious of the policies ever since. Golden Age. awesome. So that's what I wanted to say, which is one reason I haven't been real enthusiastic to talk about this. Although we were there in 1967, the master closed the straits. And it was a very interesting trip. It was sponsored by Pitt. And while we were there, they advertised in the Jerusalem Post a reunion of everybody in Israel without a Pitt connection. And lived in Palestine then. That started with one of the founders of Bank Levy. And he was very bright, very friendly. And got home, received a letter chastising us for going home, for not staying in Israel to help him in case they needed to get involved in the war. That turned me off a little bit. Here I had four children at home. That attitude.
Was he an Israeli who came to Peter, or was he an American?
He was originally an American, but he hadn't gone to Israel, gone to Palestine. He lived there for 2 years.
Well, then let me ask you a little bit about your feelings with Rabin and
Rabin was, I mean, he was my kind of politics. I'm very much a liberal on politics. I'm reconstructed 1940s, which dates me, but that's just. Yes, I just thought it was a dreadful tragedy, not just a personal tragedy, but it's a dreadful tragedy.
Also something about soliciting $5.
Oh, I worked for the Federation, about the Federation. Single people, young married people, college. We used to solicit. We get $5 gifts and give $5 gifts. So I've been involved for a while.
When we had left off on Tuesday, we were talking about the research that you were doing with three women.
Women of three ethnic
groups. Slovak and the Italian.
Slavic. Italian.
Italian and Jewish.
Slavic includes all the Slavic groups. Slovak, Slovenian, Russian, Polish, Croatian.
And what were the results of that study?
Well, just two. I had to sum it up. What would I say? Generational differences. Most, probably the most interesting. Because the oldest women, most of them are now dead, after this was done 20 years ago. Most of them are around 70s, some of them are 60s. Very few. They were women who had accepted what life meant. They had no expectations. And they made do with what they had. They hoped life would be better, but they didn't. They had no expectations. The second generation, well, they had expectations that their daughters would be very traditional women. The second generation did just what was expected. Expected to work and turn their money over to the family, they did that. They were all expected to marry and have children, and they did that. None of them were expected to have careers, and one or two did, but mostly careers children expecting things. They had much more positive ambitions for their children. And the youngest generation, both, if they wanted to wait and postpone marriage, and they made it was very difficult because some of them were quite conflicted. They didn't have a path that was leading by society about the families and sort of the transition.
Did you follow the news wishes?
Well, I did because I published the book just a few years ago, but I went back to them. The young, yeah.
Oh. What was the name?
Grandmother's Daughters. Do you feel that type of situation is a changing role of women? Is an American thing?
No.
Because this is my, aside from Judaism, this, women are my chief history. Basic values. And Jewish mother and the Jewish family placed a tremendous value on education for their children, and on progress. They really believed that they didn't want their children to be just like them. Each generation wanted their children achieve more and have a better standard of living and nicer clothes and a bigger house and to be more successful. And one of the things I remember when I interviewed Mrs. Posner, Rabbi Posner's wife, and she was talking to her daughter, Miss Kenny Darrow, and she said, "My daughter is 10 heads higher than I. She's a better social worker than I am. She has more children than I had." And everything that her daughter achieved was more than she had, that she felt that she had achieved. And that really sort of summed up the Jewish position. The Italian was very, they wanted things to stay the same. They didn't want their children to leave home if it meant, if they didn't want their children to be a professional, if it meant they would leave them, if it meant they would leave home. Well, Mrs. Posner, she talked about sending her boys to yeshiva in the city. This was before we had no such things here. And she said, her neighbor said, "How can you send 10-year-old boys away?" And she said, her answer was, them, but that's where they belong if they're going to be fine rabbis someday. So that was one basic difference. The Italian were very closeness of families primary, and the closeness, even their definition of nuclear family the nieces and nephews and aunts and uncles. They lived with several extended family homes, with not just the generations, but with their apartments on each floor for a different sister or a different brother in the family. And they would go, if they didn't like what their mother had for dinner, they'd go upstairs and eat at their aunt's house. And it was all one close family, not a family seder. Sabbath dinner once on occasion. They were together all the time. And as far as the Islamic community, very interesting. The things that they valued were very, very much their homes. The home was just central to them. The Italian was the people in the house. The Slavic itself was central, all among their homes. And of course this dates back to Europe where they didn't end, where they were serfs generations ago and then finally got the freedom to buy property but didn't have the money to buy it. So when they came here and they worked in the mills, their ambition was to buy the home. And when they did, it really took care of them. And you should see the sense of demand. They didn't sell their homes. One woman who was a businesswoman in Houston, quite successful, lived in her house until all her life. But she gave, when she and her husband moved to a smaller house, they gave the larger house to their daughter. And when she finally died, living in a smaller home, the granddaughter took her house. Because the home itself is really important. And the heartbreaking thing when homesteads died was that they had to move. Young people had to find a way to make a living somewhere else and forced to give up those homes to be very nice or also extremely patriotic. All of them sort of very, oh yes, extremely. Jewish people were called American and good citizens, voted, and they didn't talk America all the time. So much freedom.
Even the third generation. From here.
I would say that, yes. I mean, they're the ones that volunteered for Vietnam. Very. Oh, they value, I should say, homes and work. You say to my mother, what did you like about your husband? She would say, oh, he was so cute. Mr. Anderson, he was nice. He was brilliant. But the Slavic woman said he was a good worker. And the other qualities. But the good worker. I didn't talk about that. I was talking to the women.
So but I mean, as far as their sons are concerned, they didn't hesitate to send their sons.
I believe that we didn't discuss that. Fortunately, we didn't get too much into anything too controversial. Because this was like the end of Vietnam. So we didn't. But one woman, a Slavic woman, was just. I did ask them. President was, thinking of that. One of them said, President, very good, very, very good. She said, President Eisenhower. And I said, why did you choose Eisenhower? He's the one that let me get Social Security when I was 62.
Talked about your PhD in history and in Pitt. If we could just pick up from there and go through the different studies that you've done.
Well, the first really major study that I did was my dissertation, which was the history of Jews in Mexico. That had was very well received in Mexico. To the university, and they would give me an honorarium of 200,000 pesos, something that's worth $200. So I was delighted, and when we went to Mexico, I had been in touch with Mariana, and I flew from Zacatecas to Mexico City and spent a day. Very, very wealthy, very, very orthodox Mexican family. And it was quite an adventure. And she asked me what I wanted to do after the university. We were going to her house. We had lunch at her house. That was the big one. With her mother-in-law and her sister-in-law. And the men by this time were far too busy to take time for that midday. Her husband was an aeronautical engineer, graduate of MIT, who had been introduced to her by her brother, who also was. And they were brilliant young men, and they had taken her father's plastics business and turned it into a high-tech industry, and they supplied all the airplanes. They served the French technology and could service these airplanes, so they were extreme in this business. Anyway, she asked me what I wanted to do. And from there we went to the university, and I said, well, I wouldn't mind doing some shopping. She said, what do you want to buy? I said, silver. Oh, one of our teachers goes every week to Tasco and brings back silver. We'll have her over and buy her silver. So my 200,000 pesos were spent within an hour. And that was quite fun. She had started her own school because she didn't think that was much high quality. So she had elementary school. Yeah, I think we'll have to turn this off. This is probably a service. So that's the story of my dissertation. But the interesting thing about it is that each project well done has had this kind of interesting fallout. And the next was, then I started looking for jobs every year. I was looking for a job. And then I not to and got into the next step. And it was really, there was a difference even in the way that women respond, because I have to get all these people to say yes. And my friends, colleagues, Francesca and Rosanka, well, they located Italian and Slovak families. And the interesting thing is when I called an Italian woman, quickly she would say, I have to ask my husband. And it was, the man had to agree before she would do it. He asked the Jewish woman, and as soon as I said it was a research project, they were thrilled. They loved research. Jewish women loved research. Then I called the Slavic women, researched it. Books so that people will know what the women have done as well as the men. Oh, yes. They like that.
I have so many questions about this. First of all, how many women are involved?
270.
And how long was this time? How long did you interview these women?
Okay, this took about 2 years. I had lots of help. Okay, do remember the origins of it. totally over.